This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Monday afternoon, August the 30th. Pastor Marcus Zill joins us for the remainder of this hour. It's a very difficult thing to do. I've reached the age now where not all, but most of the people I grew up with, came up with, are now all parents of college-age kids. And that means, over the last several years, you watch them go off. And I think the first time you have to take them off to college and drop them off and make the long drive home must be the most difficult thing up to that point for many of these parents they've ever had to do. And who knows, for the kids as well. It gets easier, I imagine, but it's very, very difficult. We'll be talking some pastoral advice for college students and their parents. Pastor Marcus Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming. He's director of Christ on Campus for the Lutheran youth organization called Higher Things. Marcus, welcome back.
Hey, Todd. Great to be back.
Wow. You talk to people who have just made the long trip out there with their kid, unloaded it all at the dormitory, and then made their hasty retreat in tears. It's the hardest thing they've ever had to do, they say. What's your best pastoral advice for the parents who have just done this or are about to do this with their college-age student?
Well, this is a crazy time of the year. It's especially, we always focus on the students, and very little is done to help these parents, especially the ones that this is their first time dropping a kid off. One of the biggest things that I like to tell the parents of young people is, first of all, these young people are crying for independence. They're looking for independence. And sometimes I see parents that are too quick to want to rush in, maybe even sometimes for their own needs because they miss their kids. And they need to let them have time. They need to drop them notes to say, hey, just, you know, simple little text message. Hey, hope you have a great first day at school. There's a big difference between that and calling them five times a day to see how they're doing. In my experience, most young people will be calling their parents already. And so to parents, I would just suggest that you let your young people kind of dictate the terms of how they kind of contact you for help and support, especially that first week, because these young people have been looking forward to this opportunity to have their freedom. And I guarantee all of you parents out there that they're going to be calling you, trust me.
So wait for the phone call. Don't call them.
A little note here or there, a little text just says, hey, have a great first day of school. I'm proud of you. That goes a long way with a young person, as opposed to, are you doing okay? I mean, young people can they can sense if you're more nervous than they are. And so if you as a parent are coming across as the one that actually needs the intervention more than the freshman at college, that's not a good sign.
Okay, so stay strong. You get the kids on the receiving end, okay? So you can actually answer this question with some real experience behind you, Marcus. What is your chief pastoral concern for a student as they go off for the first time to the college or the university?
Well, it seems like it changes from year to year, but the biggest thing that's been hitting home with me lately is the amount of time that these young people have. They seem to get so bogged down with so much stuff so quick. They don't have time. And they don't know how to use their time. They have never had to really budget their time. You get up in high school, you drive to school, you get dropped off, you get off the bus, you come home, you do your homework, you play your instrument, whatever you do, and the next thing you know, you got to go to bed. And now all of a sudden, they have a whole stewardship menu of things that they have to deal with. And many times they fill it up with too much stuff right off the bat. And some of it's not good. And as you know, you can find almost anything on a college campus, both the good and the bad.
So it's not a question of having too much time on their hands, but as you said, perhaps knowing how to use their time and leave time, downtime for themselves?
Well, yeah, they need downtime. I mean, it's, you know, whenever you start something brand new, it's stressful. Even if, you know, you can look at the hours and minutes on a clock, but in reality, it's stressful just the newness of everything. And I see so many young people that get involved with this club and that club, and they get sucked into all sorts of various organizations, never mind the whole fraternity sorority scene. Everybody's vying for your time and your attention to suit their needs. You know, people are trying to get you into their club to help bring up their bottom line with their numbers so they can go back and talk to some office people somewhere and say, hey, we got 15. And they're not really looking out for your time. I want freshmen to show up and to be able to enjoy the independence that they have, to get used to with little things, being able to control the time, to learn how to manage it. And, of course, the number one thing, they need to have time to be able to go to church, to have a good church home, to receive Christ's gifts in the divine service, and then not feel like they have so strapped themselves down that not only in their freshman year are they not only dealing with all of the newness and all of the strangeness and the variety of things that you can get involved with, both good and bad, but now they're overloaded just in terms of time.
So I think once we were talking about this, and you said maybe a good rule of thumb is don't join anything, especially on the big university campus, don't join anything for a couple weeks.
Yeah, I go like 6 weeks. You know, it. I think that there is more danger for young people to get so wrapped up into things, especially bad things, that they aren't used to making these kind of, you know, fairly large decisions. The first month you're on a college campus, all the research will demonstrate that that's when you're meeting your friends. That's when you're developing your collegiate habits that will stick with you. This is when you're making those kind of life choices that are going to affect you for the next 4 years, because they're going to become habitual. And the last thing you need to do is to get, you know, the very first people that you meet are people that maybe you're going to later wish that you hadn't met. And so I'm really concerned that regardless of the, you know, setting aside the sorority and fraternity issue, young people just need time to be freshmen. At our church, at our campus ministry out here in Wyoming, we purposely try to not allow our incoming freshmen to be too involved too quick for the same reason. They need just to get used to going to a new church, and we want to give them that time. Now, maybe around mid to late October, November, if they've chosen to be really involved and this is one of the places that they've decided that they want to put their time and we're thankful for it, then we'll find ways for them to be involved. But September, early October, just be a student.
Let's talk a little bit about dating. Minnie, I met my wife my sophomore year, her freshman year in college, and the majority of our college years were spent seriously dating or engaged. Talk, and that's, I think, not unusual for a lot of people to meet their future spouse at college. What would you say in advance of that that particular meeting, that particular relationship, to the students there by way of pastoral advice?
What are you talking about, incoming freshmen in specific, or?
Well, yes, incoming freshmen, but I think also, you know, upperclassmen as well.
Well, it is true. The vast majority of young people do meet their future spouse while they're in college. There's great anticipation when they show up. It's almost kind of humorous being around the first week on a college campus, and you see the guys and you see the girls, and they're all vying for everyone's attention. And then eventually they settle down into kind of a routine. And I think it's pretty important, too, just as I was saying about the just being a student, that first month or so, just because you're excited to show up to school and you think you might meet your future spouse or you want to date, doesn't mean that the first people that you meet are always the best people for you either. And so I think it does take time. It takes time to settle into your routine, to settle into your schedule, to deal with the issues that you have with homesickness. And the last thing we want is young people making tough decisions in terms of dating just because they started dating somebody the first night that they were on a college campus. And so these, you have to try to help young people see the bigger picture. You know, you're going to be here for 4 years. This is a dating marathon, not a sprint. And so I think most of them understand that anymore. They know what it was like in high school, and they're kind of looking for a break from that. And they're big boys and girls now, and they can make big decisions. But I think the best thing that they can do is to simply realize that's going to come as you then start getting the opportunity to get involved with some clubs or organizations or a church where you'll find people that share a lot of your common interests, and hopefully your faith will be a part of that.
Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest for the next half hour. We'll continue our conversation with him. And I'm looking for your questions and comments, your thoughts on pastoral advice for college students and their parents. Maybe you just took a student off to college, or perhaps you might be one of those college students who has recently arrived or anticipating recently arriving on campus. I want to hear from you. We're coming to you live this Monday afternoon, August the 30th. 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MYIE. You can email us with your questions or your comments. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or leave your questions, comments, any thoughts you might have on college students and their parents at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc, facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back, it is also a marathon of worldviews, competing worldviews, many of them, if not most of them, in direct conflict with the Christian worldview. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. I'm Todd Wilkin. Stay tuned. In 1521, at the Diet of Worms, Martin Luther was asked to recant his writings. Luther responded, "Unless I am convinced from the sacred scriptures that I am in error, I cannot and will not recant. Here I stand. I cannot do otherwise. God help me. Amen." Will you stand with us as we proclaim these Reformation truths in the 21st century? You can take your stand by becoming a monthly or annual contributor to Issues, etc. To find out how you can become an Issues Etc. confessor, apologist, reformer, or patron, check out the donate page of our website, issuesetc.org. Just look for the picture of Martin Luther posting the 95 Theses. Help us proclaim the solas of the Reformation, Scripture, faith, grace, and Christ alone. Here we stand, Issues Etc. and you.
Old theology, new technology. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Lowering the cost and respect for life.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
The Genetics and IVF Institute, or GIVF, was founded in 1984 as the first outpatient infertility clinic in America. Services included IVF treatment through a large bank of highly screened egg donors. IVF treatment is expensive, and though it helps some infertile couples have a child, many criticize it for placing a price on human life. To attract patients to its information seminars, for example, GIVF advertises a free giveaway of a human egg. This beginning component of human life should be respected, not turned into a door prize. This is one giveaway that cheapens life.
This is Marjorie Dannenfelser, president of the Susan B. Anthony List. To join us in our battle for life, visit our website at sba-list.org.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're getting some pastoral advice on college students and their parents on this Monday afternoon, August the 30th. Pastor Marcus Zill is our guest. Pastor Zill, let's talk about the competing worldviews. This is very difficult to overestimate how different, in some cases, from the Christian worldview, the multitude of worldviews these kids are going to encounter in the average university campus. Talk about it.
Well, of course, everything is latent in their public high schools already. But when you show up on a college campus, it's everywhere. And you don't have a lot of those anchors in your life that you've been used to. You know, you could go home at night in high school, talk to your parents, you know, over the dinner table or before you go to bed and talk about what you've learned or what you've been studying. And instead, now, you get it 24/7. And so you head to the classroom. Many of the students here at the University of Wyoming, their English 101 class, they read the Gilgamesh account and some other creation accounts. They read the creation account from the Bible. And their freshman year, first semester, they're confronted with attempt to completely reconstructure their worldview of how they even view the Scripture. And here they just thought they were going to English class. And they don't have. They go home, they go back, they go to the dorm room, and many of the people around them that are in the dorms maybe don't have the framework or don't care to talk about it, and that can be very, very disconcerting. And especially when these things show up your exact first semester, and I think that tends to almost be by design. Many young people get caught up taking religious classes. They think, hey, this is going to be a chance for me to get a survey of the New Testament. And, of course, they find out real quick that's anything than what they've learned to understand and appreciate within the church. So I think the biggest issue is not that they haven't seen these things before. The issue is that it's 24/7, and they don't have the mechanisms in place and the anchors in their life to really help them deal with it, which, of course, is why I'm convinced that they need to have good campus pastors in their life wherever they go to school.
I want you to delve a little more deeply into that. A lot of parents think, well, you know, I've really equipped my child. They've had a very solid Christian education, perhaps. They've been regular attenders at church, a good solid congregation with a good pastor. They were well equipped to go in there and encounter all these different ideas, these ideas that are in direct conflict with the Christian worldview, much less the Christian faith itself. And so they perhaps have a overinflated sense of confidence that their kid is not going to buckle under the pressure here. What do you see usually happen with the best, educated, prepared kids?
Well, ironically, many times I find that the kids that have grown up going to the Lutheran schools and being kind of kept a little bit, perhaps protected from some of this, it's a bigger shock as opposed to the public school kids that have been there, seen this before, been there and done that. But I don't think any parent can be. I think they can be overly concerned in one sense, and that is that if they have raised their kids to be critical thinkers, if they have talked about many of these things before that their young people are going to face, when they face them in bigger measures, most of the time you see young people rise to the occasion when they've had the opportunity to be challenged to think critically. If it's their first time thinking critically and they see everyone around them and they're kind of given to peer pressure, it's a big eye-opener for many of our young people, and those are the ones that I'm concerned about.
And which of these challenges, worldview-wise, do you think is the one that kind of snags the most of them?
Well, I think it is. I think our young people are getting pretty good on the postmodern front and realizing, okay, yeah, people are going to challenge me at the thought of whether or not there's truth or not. I think the more pluralistic environment is the one that is the most challenging for them. Answering the questions of those that basically say, well, you know what, you know, why can't we have both and? You can have what you want and I can have what I want. We need a multiplicity of things. We need, you know, diversity and unity talk. You know, Who's to say that your religion is the right one? Who's to say that your God is the only God? Who's to say, you know, you have this language of tolerance that's pervasive everywhere. We have to be tolerant of everything on the college campus. I don't think the real issue anymore is in terms of issues dealing like with evolution on campus. I mean, most of my young people that are in the sciences are pretty well equipped with that. In fact, they would have already lost their faith if they weren't. So the mere fact that they're still around and coming to church and being involved, they've been there and done that before. They've heard these same lines again and again. It's more in the liberal arts front that I'm more concerned. The whole idea that we have to be open and accommodating to everyone and whatever their view happens to be, and there is no right view. That's the area that I think is the next kind of battlefront in terms of the worldview, not so much in the sciences, but in the liberal arts.
Via Facebook, Michael in Kansas says this: I think some campus ministries resemble the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod's National Youth Gathering in that they try to be all fun and no actual hardcore study, with the result being that kids who are struggling to go to campus ministry events, looking for something faithful and finding nothing but pizza and movies, fun can be made part of it, but there needs to be more than just fun and games. Your thoughts on Michael's comment in Kansas?
Wow, this is like my favorite subject, because I have this old saying, pizza is great, but it's not the gospel. And he's dead on. We need to make sure that what we do is substantive. And, you know, I mentioned earlier in the show the amount of time management. We need to make it worth the time of our young people to come to learn what we have to say. I just getting ready to do a class starting on Wednesday night on Mormonism, and I had a young sophomore just last night say, Pastor, is this going to be worth my time, or is it going to be just fun and games, and are we never going to really get around to the point? And I said, look, if it isn't any good, I won't come the next time either. The bottom line is it needs to be worth their time. These young people are taking classes where they have requirements to learn things that maybe you and I might not even be able to pass. I'm not exactly good in the sciences. And so that they can handle the truth. So often we think that they're not capable of this, and they are. And they will rise to the bar that we set for them. That's why with Higher Things we always use the phrase, dare to be Lutheran. Let's dare to be who we are. Let's make worship, make it substantive, make study, make it substantive. And yeah, there's fun. But we want to do the best we can at that too, but we don't want to make these things seem like they're all one and the same. Young people see through this, Todd. They see through that, you know what, this is great, but this isn't really worth my time. I could better use my time elsewhere. So it's really, really important that we treat them as the adults that they are becoming and that they're striving to be, and to giving them the very, very best of what we have. And when you talk about what we have in terms of this entire postmodern, pluralistic milieu that you have on the college campus, it also happens to be exactly what they need at the time that they need it. So I couldn't agree more with the gentleman.
Marcus, talk about why church attendance, and in particular, because I think a lot of campus ministries will say, you know, they could be sleeping in on Sunday morning. Let's do something for them, you know, Tuesday night or something. But why continuing life in the regular life of a Christian congregation on Sunday morning is vital for Christian college students?
You know, the more things change, the more they stay the same. We try to do things on Monday nights and Tuesday nights, Wednesday at noon. You know, we move things around the schedule all the time to accommodate, you know, the schedule of our college students. And the bottom line is the number one entryway for any college student is still Sunday morning at 10 o'clock for the divine service. It just is. Young people are looking for the rhythm of their lives that feels like they've left behind because they've gone off to school. That's what we still have on Sunday. I like to think that God knew what he was doing when he set that rhythm up for us, and they know when they head off to school. I mean, sometimes it takes a couple of weeks, but eventually they realize, you know what, I've gotten out of that rhythm. I need to get back on it.
When we come back from this break, we're going to have another 10 minutes with Pastor Marcus Zill, campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, director of Christ on Campus for the Lutheran Youth Organization called Higher Things. We will be needing to talk about the Greek system, and I'm not talking about the language. I'm talking about the system of fraternities and sororities that is out there. Some consider part and parcel of the college experience. I wonder whether or not the best pastoral advice would be to simply stay away from it altogether. There is a lot of potential trouble there. Our call-in number, 1-877-623-6943, 877-623-MY-I-E. You can email us right here in the studio with questions or comments for Pastor Zill on pastoral advice for college students and their parents. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc, or feel free to leave a question, comment, a thought at our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/issuesetc. facebook.com/issuesetc. When we come back, we'll talk about the fraternities and the sororities. They can be a stepping stone to career advancement and a future. They can also be a huge waste of time and a pretty big danger for our college students. Stay tuned.
And I'm never going back to my old school.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Caucabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Equipping the priesthood of all believers. You're listening to Issues Etc.
At steadfastlutherans.org, we've been called contentious. We've even been called the brothers of John the curmudgeon, and we may well be curmudgeonly sometimes. But we always have the best and clearest voices in confessional Lutheranism. Articles from Molly Hemingway, Martin Nolan, Clement Price, Todd Wilkin, and a host of regular contributors. Come check out the new Lutheran media. Always clear, always concise, always confessionally Lutheran. SteadfastLutherans.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House. Listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House. cph.org.
Ten more minutes talking pastoral advice for college students and their parents with Pastor Marcus Zill. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. Pastor Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, and director of Christ on Campus for the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things. Marcus, tell us about Christ on Campus.
Well, one of my favorite subjects. Christ on Campus is the, as you mentioned, it's kind of the campus ministry division within Higher Things. One of our concerns is to help young people not only remain rooted in Christ while they're at home and in high school, but also as they venture off into academia, and to try to network and provide resources for those who are seeking to help young people dare to be Lutheran when they are on campus. We put on a series of staff conference, an annual staff conference every year to help campus pastors and laity with that task. We also are a network of retreats as well as a place that people can simply go and see where our, I believe we're at 55 chapters now or throughout the Synod.
Folks, you can find out more about Christ on Campus. We have a link at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Here's Sally calling from her cell. Sally, welcome to Issues, Etc.
Hi, Pastor Wilkin. Hi, Pastor Zell. I want to say that for me, it's like I've got a freshman in high school, and I keep thinking I need to pick her college by where they have the Lutheran best campus ministry rather than academia, because I know friends and that have older children that have actually shipwrecked their faith in college. So unfortunately, we don't do as good a job of thinking about things like that as parents or as church at large of having a good Lutheran presence or Lutheran pastor on campus.
Sally, thank you very much. Marcus.
Well, Sally, you're dead on. You're spot on there. And one of my hobby horses is always to try to tell parents and young people, think first about, it's wonderful to think about, okay, what do I want to do in my life and what kind of a major discipline do I want to get involved with in college? But 80% of our college students change that once they show up anyways. And so it's very, very important that you think, we can say that the number one thing in our lives is our spiritual life, but then we pick a college and worry about what the spiritual alphabet soup is going to be later. And so my advice to parents and young people out there, if they're listening, is to think very, very critically about and analytically about where am I going to go to church when I go off to college? What difference does it make if I gain the whole world yet lose my soul? And so that's one nice thing about our Christ on Campus chapter network. That's one place to start. Not every one of the chapters are full-time campus ministries like we here have at the University of Wyoming. But there are congregations that are dedicated that definitely care very much about what's going to happen to a young man or a young woman when they go off to college. And so that's one place to start. But many times I've had young people drop me a note and say, hey, I'm a junior. This is what I'm interested in. These are some of the schools I'm thinking about. What can you tell me about my spiritual life when I head off there? And so that's also something that I'm happy to do. If somebody drops me an email through our website, happy to put them in touch with those that are the campus pastors in those areas. But yeah, if our spiritual life really is number one in our life where it should be, then that should be one of the biggest decisions we make. And maybe we sacrifice a little bit of academics for the sake of making sure that we have the total experience that college has to afford, and that needs to include our spiritual life as well.
Let's talk about sororities and fraternities. What's your pastoral advice there?
Well, I know we're running out of time, and this is a topic that I could spend a lot of time on, so I'll just be real quick. I encourage in general, I hate kind of putting a blanket pall on all of the fraternities and sororities, but as far as the Greek ones especially, yeah, there's concerns with a lot of the kind of raucous meat market type atmosphere that you can have that goes with that. There are many wonderful things that many of the Greek system fraternities do. Unfortunately, there's also a lot of religious pitfalls that go with this. Many of the Greek system fraternities have religious rituals. I got asked just 3 months ago if one of the Greek fraternities here at the University of Wyoming could hold their initiation rituals for their newbies in our sanctuary at Friday night at midnight. Of course, I couldn't be there. And so there's kind of a quasi-religious element that goes with many of them. And many times a young person's going to be asked to make a confession or to vow to things that might comprehend their faith, and usually they're not given the chance to review it ahead of time. And that's actually my biggest concern. Of course, as we started off our time together today, we talked about the importance of young people having time and not feeling rushed. One of my biggest practical advices in that regard is that there's a reason why they call it rush, because they're trying to rush you into something. And so that's all the more reason to take time and anything worth joining is worth waiting to join once you have a better bearing and the opportunity to have your feet under you.
Sarah via Facebook says, I remember reading somewhere that education majors were the most likely to become more religious during college, while psychology or sociology majors were more likely to lose their faith. Results for the hard sciences and business majors were mixed. Taking even a cursory glance at the required psych books in the college bookstore, I am not surprised. One of the books was about how churches, taking special aim at Catholics, are bad for making people feel like sinners when often they are just victims. Any comments on this in general and any special advice for those who are going into psychology or other particularly hostile fields?
Well, unfortunately, and I had alluded to this earlier, a lot of the liberal arts, but especially the psychology and sociology, it's getting a little bit of a danger zone out there. I don't want to cast a pall on everybody in those fields either, but I did kind of an informal poll with a lot of my campus ministry fellow pastors and colleagues about the kids that are most rooted in their faith that are more involved in our campus ministries and what their disciplines are. And routinely, we found those that are actually in the sciences, the math majors, the science majors, accounting, business, engineering fields. And less do we see those that are involved in history and English and psychology and sociology. And so that's really where kind of that's the new fault line for a lot of the worldview issues that we're seeing on the campus, for sure.
Finally, with only 30 seconds, you spoke before about the importance of attending church. What can parents do to encourage church attendance for their now flown-the-nest college freshmen or other classmen, with about 30 seconds?
Well, the best advice I could give is, one, nagging them isn't going to make a difference. In fact, they might rebel if you nag too much. But the best advice is give your child a couple of weeks to kind of go on their own, and then find the time to drive there that weekend, stay overnight, take them out to eat, and offer to go to church with them. Sometimes that's all that it takes to help get them feeling comfortable in those new environs.
Should they call the pastor of that local church they want their kid going to and say, please go see my child on campus?
Yes, but I think it's also important that the pastor isn't seen as calling up and saying, hey, your mom and dad called me. It's wonderful. We want to know where they're at so that we can make the contact. I'd rather steer on the side of their parental concern, letting us know and not assuming that someone else has let us even know that their child's around, because we may just not know if they don't let us know.
Pastor Marcus Zill is campus pastor at St. Andrew's Lutheran Church and Campus Center in Laramie, Wyoming, director of Christ on Campus for the Lutheran Youth Organization, Higher Things. Marcus, thank you very much.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Always a blast.
Thrivent Financial for Lutherans has a new program called Thrivent Choice, and the reason I'm telling you about it is a way to help issues, etc. Thrivent Choice lets you choose where some of Thrivent's charitable outreach funds go, and there are two aspects to Thrivent Choice: choice dollars and voting events. Now, you're going to need more information, and I can tell you where to get it. Visit our website, issuesetc.org, and click Donate. Look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. When you click that, you will find everything you need to know about Thrivent Choice and how you can help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through Thrivent Choice. You're going to need to search for Lutheran Public Radio. The show is called Issues Etc., of course, but we are produced by Lutheran Public Radio. And when you do search the Thrivent website for Lutheran Public Radio, you will find a way to help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. through Thrivent Choice. Issuesetc.org. Click Donate and look for the Thrivent Financial for Lutherans logo. It is scary. It's scary on both ends of the scenario. Scary to leave for the first time. Also exciting. Many new opportunities. A whole new world, a whole new chapter of life opens up. From the parents' perspective, obviously much to worry about. And it really should be our foremost concern on either end of that scenario that our spiritual life, that the Word of God and its place as it guides and corrects and offers the consolation and comfort of the forgiveness of sins in Jesus Christ, continue in contact with those children. That's the real point here. keeping our kids and our kids keeping in contact with God's Word and thereby with Jesus Christ, our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.